Good morning, everyone. If you have your Bible with you, please take it out and go over into your New Testament, to the book of Acts, please, to Acts, the 24th chapter. Acts 24, and in just a moment, we're going to start reading with verses 24 of the text. Before we start reading here, if you will allow me a moment or two, I want to kind of set up the context for what's going on here in this section of Scripture. Here in Acts chapter 24, we need to understand that in the context, the Apostle Paul has been blessed with a wonderful opportunity. After being transported to a new location for his protection, while a prisoner in Caesarea, the Bible says that the Apostle Paul was actually blessed with the opportunity to have a meeting with the Roman governor Felix. He was actually blessed to have a sit down with a powerful political figure at this time. In fact, he actually was able to have this sit down with Felix in complete privacy. In complete privacy, he was able to meet with Felix and his wife. And for those who may wonder why a man like Felix would want to meet with a prisoner like Paul, let me suggest that in addition to having some respect and admiration for Paul, the reason why Felix probably wanted to meet with him was because he was curious. He was curious about Paul. He was curious about Paul's beliefs. He was curious about his teachings. He was curious about the kinds of things that Paul promoted that got him in so much trouble with the Jews. Felix's curiosity about Paul is probably what prompted him to want to have a sit down with him. But the question is this. The question is, what kinds of things would these two men discuss? What kinds of things would they talk about? I mean, what in the world would the Apostle Paul, a prisoner, actually talk about with a powerful political figure like Felix? Well, you got your Bible with you this morning? Let's pick up with the text in Acts 24 in verse 24. Here Paul is in prison because the Jews have brought false charges against him in Jerusalem. And it says that some days later, Felix arrived with Drusilla, his wife, who was a Jewish. And they sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, but as he, referring to Paul, was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix became frightened and said, "Go away for the present, and when I find time, I will summon you." At the same time, too, he was hoping that money would be given him by Paul. Therefore, he also used to send for him quite often and converse with him. But after 2 years had passed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and wishing to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul imprisoned. Now, brothers and sisters, as you ponder these verses for just a moment or two, let me submit to you that what we find here in these verses is a stark contrast to what we find being promoted all throughout the book of Acts. You see, unlike what you find in the case of those 3,000 Jews who responded in obedience to the gospel after hearing it preached by Peter in Acts chapter 2, and unlike what you find in the case of the Ethiopian eunuch and the Philippian jailer, and Lydia, and the Samaritans, and those in Corinth and Ephesus, unlike what you find in those cases in the book of Acts, in this case, you don't find a conversion. In this case, you don't find a baptism. In this case, you don't find the hearer of the gospel responding to it with humble obedience to the Lord. Instead, in this case, what you find, it's one of the few cases of unconversion in the book of Acts. Brothers and sisters, this is an unconversion or a non-conversion in the book of Acts. In other words, what we find here in these verses is someone who heard the truth This is someone who heard the word of God, and instead of acting on the word of God with obedience to the Lord, this person refused to obey. This person refused to submit to it. This person refused to act on the things that he had heard. This is a case of non-conversion in the book of Acts. And if you don't mind, this morning in our lesson, I just want us to go back and kind of break down what's going on here in the Word of God. And let's just begin by going back to verse 25 and consider with me Paul's message. Going back to verse 25, I want you to notice how when meeting with Felix, the Apostle Paul takes advantage of the situation and he preaches to him the Word of God. As a preacher and as a prisoner, Paul takes advantage of the situation and he talks to Felix about the scriptures. In fact, the Bible specifically tells us that when meeting with Felix, Paul talked with him about some very specific things. First, notice how one of the things that Paul talked with Felix about is, number one, according to the text, he talked with him about the concept of righteousness. Righteousness. That is, he talked with Felix about the righteousness of God and the prescription God has given or ordained to make a man righteous. This is very similar to what Paul said to the brethren in Rome in Romans chapter 1. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. In Romans 1 and verse 16, when talking with the brethren at Rome, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it," referring to the gospel, "is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now watch verse 17. "For in it," in the gospel, "the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." Notice the prescription, the biblical prescription God has given to make a man righteous. Do you see it? Notice how the avenue or the method or the prescription God has given to make a man righteous is through the basis of faith. It is through the basis of having faith in Christ. It is not through the basis of following the Old Testament law of Moses. It is not through the basis of keeping the Ten Commandments given through Moses to the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. It is not through the basis of following a system of perfect law keeping or following a system of doing a bunch of good works because you're trying to earn your salvation. No, according to what the Apostle Paul says here, the prescription or the avenue God has given to clean up a man spiritually, make him holy and righteous, is through the basis of faith. It is through the basis of having faith in Christ. It is through the basis of one believing in Christ and being obedient to Christ and being completely committed and loyal to Christ. That is the method or the avenue God has chosen to make a man righteous. And that's what Paul talked with Felix about. When talking with Felix, Paul talked with him about the righteousness of God and the prescription through faith that God has given to make a man righteous. But not only did he talk with him about righteousness, a second thing he talked with him about was self-control. Self-control. In other words, Paul also told Felix that in order for a person to truly be righteous in the eyes of God, they got to live a disciplined life. They got to be temperate. They have to understand that you can't live your life doing whatever you want to do and expect to be pleasing to the Lord. It reminds me of what Paul also says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 23. There Paul, when talking about the fruits of the Spirit, Paul says that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. You go to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, and Peter says that once we become disciples, once we become Christians, we are to add to our faith virtue, and to our virtue knowledge, knowledge of the word of God, and to our knowledge of the word of God, self-control. God wants us to have self-control. As Christians, God wants us to not live for ourselves, but to live for him. He wants us to live for Jesus. He wants us to give Jesus not just a say-so in our lives, but the ultimate say-so. He wants us to control our sinful passions and desires. That's what Paul told this man of authority, Felix. He told him that if you really want to be right in the eyes of God, if you really want to be righteous, then you got to have self-control. You got to control yourself as God's creation. And then after talking with him about self-control, a third thing he talked with him about was the judgment to come. The judgment to come, that is, Paul also preached to Felix about a day of reckoning in which every person to have ever lived will stand before the judgment seat of God's Son and give an account for how they've lived their lives. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, the Hebrews writer says that it is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes the judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, Paul said to the Corinthian brethren that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for the things we've done in our bodies, whether those things be good or whether those things be bad. And then you go in your Bible to Acts 17, and you consider what Paul said to the brethren in Athens in Acts 17 and verse 30. In Acts 17 and verse 30, Paul said to the people in Athens, he says, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. Why should men repent? Why should men turn away from their sins? Well, verse 31 says, because he, God, has fixed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom he has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising him from the dead. Notice how because Jesus was raised from the dead, but because Jesus came out of that tomb on that faithful Sunday morning 2,000 years ago, Paul says we can be rest assured that a day of judgment is coming. We can be rest assured that a day is going to take place in which every person to have ever lived will give an account of themselves to God. This is one of the great promises yet to be fulfilled in the scriptures. Judgment day is coming. And certainly that would have dovetailed perfectly Paul's message about self-control, right? I mean, think about it. Paul essentially told Felix that it matters how you live. It matters what you do. It matters if you are a person of self-control, because a day of reckoning is coming. A day is coming, Felix, in which you, even you, will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Felix, a day is coming in which you, even you, will stand before the throne of God. This is the message that Paul preached to Felix. And let me just ask you this morning, do you think that this right here is still a relevant message? Do you think that today, even today in 2020, do you think that God still wants people to hear this message? Do you think even today God wants people in Phoenix, Arizona to hear about righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come? Do you think God wants people to hear this message today? You better believe he does. You better believe he does. You better believe that today, even in our sophisticated society, today, even in 2020, God wants people to know about righteousness. You better believe that today, even today, God wants people to know that if they're truly going to be made righteous, if they're truly going to be made holy in his eyes, then they got to have faith in Christ. They got to put their trust in Christ. They got to be faithful and loyal to the Son of God. They got to pledge their entire allegiance to Jesus. Today, even today, God wants people to hear the message of righteousness. And not only that, but today, even today, God also wants people to hear the message of self-control. God also wants people to know, even today, that contrary to popular thinking, it matters how you live your life. It matters how you behave on a daily basis. It matters what you say and what you do and what you look at and even what you feed into your heart. It matters if you control your temper. It matters if you control your sinful sexual desires. It matters how you treat other people. It matters how you treat your coworker and your neighbor and your brethren and your spouse and your kids. It even matters what you do when you're provoked by your enemies. You see, like, Felix needed to hear the message of self-control. God wants people today, even today, to hear that same message. God wants people today to hear about righteousness. And he wants people to hear about self-control. And then thirdly, he also wants people to hear about the judgment day. He also wants people to understand that one day they're going to die. And when they die, their eternal fate's going to be sealed. He also wants people to understand that one day the Lord's going to come back like a thief in the night. And on that day, the world will be destroyed by fire and the judgment day will occur. The day of reckoning is going to take place. And on that day, them and every person to have ever lived, they're going to stand before God and they're going to give an account of themselves to God. And if they have not obeyed the glorious gospel, if they have not sought the forgiveness of God and given their lives completely to Jesus, they're going to be in a lot of trouble on that day. In fact, they're going to be in the worst kind of trouble on that day. You see, my friends, these are core aspects of the gospel. These are fundamental and foundational principles of the gospel. And these are the things that Paul had the guts to tell Felix. When given the opportunity, if he had one sermon to preach to this man, he said, I'm going to talk to him about righteousness. And I'm going to talk to him about self-control. And I'm going to talk to him about the judgment day. That's what Paul told this political figure. The question, though, is this. The question is, how did Felix respond to this message? How did Felix respond to this inspired truth revealed to him by Paul? Well, before we close very quickly, let me give you three things. Three things that the Bible says Felix did in response to Paul's preaching. First, I want you to notice how after hearing this powerful message from Paul, according to verse number 25, the scripture says that when Felix heard this message, he was afraid. He was frightened. He was actually pricked by the message. Unlike many of the people that Paul preached to in his time, and unlike many of the people we preach to in our time today, when Felix heard the gospel, when he heard the truth, he didn't just lightly brush it aside. He didn't just swiftly sweep it under the rug. He didn't just easily dismiss it. Instead, you know what he did? He allowed it to touch his heart. He allowed it to prick his heart. He actually believed the message and he took it very seriously. The scripture says that after Felix heard the truth, he became afraid. He was frightened by this message from Paul, but unfortunately, even though he was frightened, even though he was touched somewhat by the message, the second thing he did was he procrastinated. He procrastinated. In other words, instead of getting up and acting on the truth, instead of getting up and submitting himself to Jesus and preparing himself for the judgment day, you know what he did? He put it off. He hesitated. He said, Paul, go away for the present, and when I find time later, then I will summon you. Felix heard the truth. But instead of acting on the truth, he put it off. He procrastinated. And let me just ask you this morning. Do you know of any people who've done that or like that in your life? You know any people like that? You know any procrastinators? You know any spiritual procrastinators? You ever met folks like that before? I'm going to be honest with you. I've met people like that before. I've met a lot of people like that. In fact, when I think about Felix's story, I can't help but being reminded of a lady I met several years ago when I was doing local work in Florida named Deborah. About 9 years ago, I met Deborah. Deborah was about 80 years old, maybe 81 or 82, when I first met her. She wasn't a Christian, but she was a friend of a Christian. She was a friend of a lady who was a member of our congregation named Ruth. Ruth is a faithful woman of God. And one day, Ruth, she met Deborah, and she invited Deborah to the worship services. And Deborah came to several services. In fact, after coming to a few of the services, I was blessed with an opportunity to have some Bible studies with her. In fact, we had several Bible studies. We met one or two times a week. And when we met, we actually talked a lot about the same things that Paul talked with Felix about. We talked about having faith in Christ. We talked about repentance. We talked about baptism. We talked about self-control. We talked about the reality of death and preparing ourselves to stand before the Lord in judgment. We talked about all that stuff. And thankfully, after talking about that stuff, Deborah knew exactly where she stood before the Lord. She knew exactly where she stood before God. In fact, there were several times where she admitted that to me. She admitted to me that she knew that at that point in her life, she was lost in her sins. She admitted to me that she knew that according to the Bible, baptism is essential to a person's salvation, and she had not yet been biblically baptized. She admitted to me that she knew that being a good person in her own eyes, that wasn't going to cut it in the eyes of God. She admitted that she understood all that stuff. She admitted that she knew exactly where she stood before the Lord. But let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Even though she knew exactly where she stood before God, you know what she would never do? She never would obey the truth. She never would obey the gospel. In fact, like Felix, whenever I would ask Deborah, ma'am, when do you want to finally act on the truth that you are learning and hearing. Whenever I would ask her that, you know what she would say? She would say, well, I'm not ready to do that right now. I'm not ready to do that today. I'm not ready to get baptized today. I may do that later. I may do that at some point in the future. That's what she would always say to me. You see, even at 80 years old, Deborah had a mentality just like Felix. She just knew that tomorrow was going to be promised to her. But let me ask you this. What about you this morning? What about you as you sit there in the pew? What about you as you examine and evaluate your own life this morning? I mean, are you also a spiritual procrastinator? Are you also the kind of person who keeps putting off getting your soul right with God? Are you also the kind of person who keeps putting off baptism for remission of your sins, even though you have heard sermons about that and you've heard the truth about that issue for the last 30, 40, or 50 years of your life? You just keep on putting it off. Are you the kind of person who just keeps putting off baptism? You've been doing it for decades. Are you the kind of person who keeps putting off reading books of the Bible that you've never read before? Are you the kind of person who keeps putting off finally dealing with that porn habit? Or that drinking problem? Or maybe you're the kind of person who keeps putting off finally going to that brother or sister that you have a problem with in the church and sitting down and trying to settle whatever issues y'all have between each other. Do you keep putting that kind of stuff off? Are you a procrastinator? Are you a spiritual procrastinator right now in your life? If so, then I want to ask you, I want to beg you to do something. I want to beg you to learn from Felix. I want to beg you to understand that it is never a good thing to put off obeying the will of God in your life. It is never a good thing to put off submitting to the gospel. I want you to understand that procrastination is never going to solve your problems. I want you to understand that tomorrow is not promised to you. 2021 is not promised to you. The next 10 or 15 minutes is not promised to any of us. The Lord could come back at any moment like a thief in the night, right? Procrastination is never our friend when it comes to obeying the will of God. Felix heard the truth, and he was pricked by the truth, but instead of acting on what he heard, he put it off. He procrastinated, and the Holy Spirit never tells us if he actually later obeyed. And so he's a procrastinator. But not only did he procrastinate, here's the third thing I want to leave you with. After hearing the gospel, Felix also remained unchanged. I want you to go back and just notice again Felix's initial response after hearing the truth. Remember, the first thing we learn about his response is we learn that after hearing the truth, he became frightened. The Bible says he became afraid. Question, why was he afraid? Why was he afraid after hearing the truth? Well, I'm going to tell you, I believe the reason why he was afraid after hearing the truth is because he knew the truth about himself. He knew that the truth was that at that moment in his life, he wasn't living right. He wasn't ready to die. He wasn't ready to stand before the Lord in judgment. Felix knew the truth about himself, and yet even though he knew the truth about himself, he still did nothing to change his life. He still did nothing to reform his life. In fact, the text specifically says that after meeting with Paul on this occasion, he kept Paul in prison. He kept Paul locked up, and the reason why he did that is because he had a heart full of greed. He had a greedy heart. He had a covetous heart. He had a heart that loved money. While he did continue to have conversations with Paul, the Holy Spirit tells us that there was a hidden agenda there. The reason he kept Paul locked up is because he hoped Paul would give him a bribe in an effort to seek his release. Felix was a man who heard the truth. He heard the gospel, but unfortunately, he wasn't changed by the gospel. He wasn't reformed by the gospel. And I'm going to be honest with you. I think from that part of his story, we learn some valuable lessons. One of the lessons I think we learn from Felix is as we go out trying to fulfill the Great Commission, as we go out trying to preach the gospel to as many people as we can, we got to understand that while a lot of people are going to hear our message, unfortunately for many of those people, they're not going to be changed by the message. They're not going to be transformed by the message. They're not going to feel compelled to act on the message. Instead, you know what they're going to want to do? They're going to want to stay right where they are. They're going to want to keep living with their boyfriend or with their girlfriend. They're going to want to stay in that adulterous marriage. They're going to want to continue that homosexual lifestyle. They're going to want to continue being part of that denominational church. We're going to preach the gospel to a lot of people. But unfortunately, for a lot of those folks, they're not going to be changed by the message we're preaching. But let me tell you this also. Not only will a lot of people in the world not be changed by the truth, if we're not careful, brothers and sisters, we can also fall into this same trap. You know that, don't you? Even as Christians, even as disciples of Jesus Christ, if we're not careful, we can also fall into the trap of hearing the word of God over and over again and remaining unchanged. And so I want to show you one more place in the Bible, and we're going to get ready to close. I'm going to James chapter 1. You know where I'm going in James? James 1 and verse 22. Remember what James said in James 1 and verse 22? He says, "But prove yourselves doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be what?" He's going to be blessed. He's going to be blessed in what he does. Notice how beyond just hearing the word of God, beyond just sitting in Bible classes and hearing sermons, God also wants us to make application. God also wants us to do what his word says. God also wants his word to mold us and shape us and influence our lives. The Bible says that the word of God doesn't do us any good if we don't make application in our daily lives. We see that in a very practical way when we study the life of Felix. You see, unfortunately, Felix's story is a very sad story. It is one of the few cases of non-conversion in the book of Acts. It doesn't end well. His story doesn't end well. The question is, how will your story end? How's your story going to end? I mean, is your story going to end like Felix's? If you're not a Christian, is your story going to end with you constantly procrastinating and eventually losing your soul? Or will your story end with humility and submission to God and living a transformed life in Jesus Christ? How's your story going to end? My dear friend, if you want your story to end the right way, if you're not a Christian this morning, I want you to understand that it all starts with how you respond to the message this morning. If you want your story to end the right way, then you control that. You control how you respond to the truth. And so this morning, if you're not a Christian, if you're willing to believe in Jesus and repent of your sins and obey his commandment to be buried in the waters of baptism, if you will do those things, then your story can end the way God wants it to be, and that is with you and a right relationship with him. And so if there's someone here this morning who needs to respond to the gospel in any way at all, don't put it off, don't procrastinate, come to the front right now. Let's stand, let's sing.